This is HPR episode 2091 entitled, Everyday Unix/Linux Tools for Data Processing. It is hosted by BeEasy and is about 30 minutes long. The summary is, in this episode, I give some examples of common and uncommon tools for processing data files.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hacker Public Radio, this is BeEasy once again with another episode. This time I'm going to talk to you about some of the command line and other tools I use to analyze and process data. Now, a lot of what I do for my day job is looking at data in various formats, whether it be text or numbers or other types of objects, sometimes images even. And it comes in all types of formats, and so a lot of things I have to do before I even start analyzing it at all is to get it into a format that is more agreeable for automated data processing or automated data analysis. So I'm just going to go through some of the tools I use. I'm not going to go through an exhaustive list, but here we go. So in terms of cleaning up to get prepared for the right type of environment, I like to use a program called Unix to DOS or DOS to Unix, depending on which way I'm going. It's the same one program, but it has both commands. And it does stuff like changes the file encoding to UTF-8. It has options where you can change it to other things, but you can change the file encoding. It changes the end of line character and the end of file characters that differ between Unix-like systems and Windows-like systems or DOS-like systems. And so a lot of times I'll get a bunch of files that are text-based, and they'll be in the DOS style, and I'll just run Unix to DOS star on a directory, and it does all of them. Another one that is also useful is a program called Detox. I talked about it briefly before, I think, or I might have mentioned it in the comments of another podcast. But Detox is a utility that renames files to make them easier to work with. This is out of the man page. It removes spaces and other such annoyances. It also translates or cleans up Latin 1 ISO 855-1 characters encoded in 8-bit ASCII, Unicode's characters encoded in UTF-8, and CGI escape characters. So you might remember sometimes people have you put spaces in and things and the file names, and if you're not careful in Bash and you don't properly put quotation marks around your variables and you do you'll end up parsing the a part of a file name instead of the entire file name because of the space. And then you'll get an error message like command not found or no such file or directory because you're not looking in the entire name of the file. You're only looking at the first set of characters before the first piece of white space. And so if you don't want to have to worry about that, you can use Detox, and it cleans that kind of stuff up. It also take out question marks, and you can indicate what character you want to make the default character to be to replace these characters as one of the options. So you can take out all the question marks, replace them with underscores, or replace them with dash lines. However you want to clean it up, it'll clean it up. And there's some other options. You can look in Man Page to learn more. Another thing I use for cleaning up files a lot of times is PDF to text. So a lot of times I'll get text PDF documents that were either a save as PDF or a print to file PDF file, so not a scanned image file. That would take OCR or to decode. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you save a text file or a Word file to PDF, or even from LaTeX. So for those type of documents, PDF to text will do exactly what it says. It'll turn a PDF document into a text document and just strip all the text out. One thing that I like to do on top of that is use a option called dash layout, so single tech layout. That will make the PDF to text do its best job of trying to impersonate the layout of the PDF document. So if you don't do that, and say the title is centered, it'll just put the title all the way left justified. But if you use dash layout, it'll put spaces in the beginning to make it look like it's centered. Or if you have a table, this is what it's really great for, is for tables. It'll try to format tables with by lining the white spaces up and making it look like a table. Very useful, and especially useful in bulk. So if I do PDF to text star star.pdf on a directory, it'll make a whole directory full of .txt files. Why is that good? Well, because you can do a lot of other things with text that you can't do with PDFs, like some of the other commands that I'm about to go over, such as ACK and grep and sed. Now, I'm not going to go into sed because we've had many wonderful episodes already about sed. And if you haven't heard any, you should go back, because I've learned a lot. I've been taking a lot and using them in my work, so it's very useful. ACK and grep do similar type things, where if you use the command ls, it'll list all the names of files. If you do grep and then a word or pattern, a regex pattern, and then a file or a group of files or a star on the directory or star.txt, whatever the case may be, it'll look into every document and look for that text inside of it. And then with different options, with grep, for instance, you can do dash capital A 5 and whatever the pattern is, star.txt, it'll look for that pattern and the 5 lines after. So if you know that there's a pattern in the documents that you're looking at, that from this pattern down 5 lines is the text that you want, you can do that by using dash A number or dash dash A number, dash B number, and I'm sorry, I switched it up. Dash A number is above, and dash B number is below, and it's the capital. The lowercase letters have a slightly different meaning, and you can read the man page to learn about them. And that's what I use grep for the most part. If I want to do dash capital A or dash capital B, I'll use grep. Otherwise, I will use ACK. And I also like ACK because I also use Vim, and there is a plugin called ACK Vim that I use inside of Vim to do ACK on it. So if I cd into a directory and I open a file in Vim, I can hit ACK and the pattern that I want, and it'll give me a quick tip menu with all the files that match and all the lines, and I can go and look at every file that matches. But it does the same thing on the command line, where you put ACK and the pattern, whether it's just the word or any other regex pattern, and it'll look in there and find it and print it to the screen. Or you can print it to a file if you redirect, like we've learned in other bash tips. And so I really, really enjoy ACK. In the man pages, it describes it as a grep alternative for programmers. And even if you're not a programmer, it makes you feel good to be considered like a programmer for using this tool. So, a little ego boost. Now, one of the things I like to use these tools in combination. So, I needed to find out if a certain phrase or word or group of words I've already written down in documentation. So, and the documents are PDFs. So I will PDF the text in all the files, and then ACK for the name or the subject that I'm looking for, find out which file is in, then actually open up that file and read what I want. I do this with my notes, so I take a lot of notes for, you know, work, for things I might learn on my side time, my shopping list, and being able to just do ACK vegetables on my notes directory, and it'll find where I wrote down vegetables. It's really great, but also for work, it has lots of great uses there too. So another tool that I use a lot is Awk, and I'm pretty sure there have been some episodes on Awk as well. It's a great tool for parsing data that is in a structured format with field separators and columns. So it's, you can do it text tab delimited files, pipe delimited files, comma delimited files. You can define the field separator, and I'm not going to go into it exhaustively here because it's a really big topic. Awk is really big, and if there's a need, I could make a whole series about Awk, like there's a whole series about sed, and I probably just talked myself into doing it, so you might want to stay tuned eventually for that. But just like anything else, it's a way to get your data into columns. So if a CSV file, instead of trying to open it in LibreOffice, I'll just awk it. And if I just want the third column, I'll just take the third column out. And I use it in bash scripts. One bash script that I like to use it with is with another couple of tools called wget and curl, which are command line utilities to interface with the internet. And so one project, here's a little project for you. I needed to get a list of words, the definition of them. So what do? I look at something like Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I see the pattern of the URL where there's a part in the URL where the word that you're looking for goes. And then I'll say, okay, well, I'll just write a big CSV file or a big text file with the words I'm looking for, and do a for loop on every line, and do a wget of the web page, and do a substitution where I add the word that from that line. So for every line, look for this word, and put that word in the URL. And then a lot of these sites are tricky, so you might have to put a sleep 10 or a sleep 60 or whatever you want to have to do. You might have to make it pause for a couple of seconds before it sends another request, because a lot of these sites don't want you to do this, so they'll put in something like a delay so that you, so, and if you do it too fast, one of the wgets that you'll get, the HTML file, all it'll say is something like, don't use robots to download our data. So it's not that it's illegal. It's just that it's something that they don't want you to do. And then, you know, obviously reference away. Say, I got this from Merriam-Webster. One of the other things I like to do, either in sed or inside of Vim, instead of using Unix to DOS, or DOS to Unix, is I'll just do a sed command or a vim regex expression substitution to take out the special characters. So it'll be like sed-i, and then inside of single quotes, s forward slash caret capital M, /g, and then close the single quote start.txt. That'll take out all the end of line characters. Another way to take them all out is sed-i single quote s /r, which is a return key, /g, close the quote start.txt. That'll do something similar. Another tricky one is to get the last line, and I do that one in Vim more than anything else, and I'll talk about that, because sometimes there'll be an end of file character that you have to parse out. I'll go into that in a little bit. And then another thing that I use a lot is Pandoc. As I've said in another podcast, I really enjoy writing in plain text, writing in Markdown. One, because I can do cool things like grep an entire directory or acket an entire directory and find out where I wrote down how to set up a LAMP server if I have it written down somewhere. that I can find the file that it is. But also because I just really hate messing around with formatting, and when I do mess with it, I'm kind of, you know, I get distracted by making sure it's all perfect and not focusing on the text I'm actually writing. So, you know, doing something like making an H1 header with a single asterisk makes it so I don't have to worry about if the next one time I want a header one is lined up correctly or it's the right color. And I've learned from some of the other episodes how to be a good template creator, and that just made me more into using Markdown, because now that I know that there's a good way to do it, I would really spend, you know, 15-20 minutes just making a good template before I even start writing. So if I just need to write, I will just write in Markdown. Like I said, curl, wget, I'm not going to get into those. There's lots of things online to talk about curl and wget, but one thing I do use, usually use wget if I just want to bring down a .html file, and I'll use curl if I want to send, like if I want to do work with a REST API, I'll do a curl -X, you know, and then put in a capital H for the headers, add headers, and then put a, you know, -X post, send it, and then get the data back. You know, it. Curl works with being able to use plain authentication, other authentication methods. So if you need to log into something, find a file on an SFTP server, bring it down, you can do it through curl, and that way you can script it and automate it. All right, so keeping with the idea of working with text a lot, I'm going to go over just a couple of Vim tricks that I use. I'm not going to go into all of Vim. Vim is a lot of things. But one of the things that I like to do is I will open up arg list of files that I want to work with. So I'll say something like, if I'm in a directory with a bunch of text files, vim star.txt, which will load all of the vim files into the argument list of vim. And then you can work with them in a very cool way, where you can hit colon vim space, then /, the pattern, /, and then space, what is that? It's like the --. And what that will do is it'll look for the pattern in everything in your arg list, and it'll put it into a little quick tips thing at the bottom, and then you can do arg next. I use a plugin called Unimpaired, so I don't remember how to do it. I just use the shortcut that the impaired tool gives you. But you can go through every single document. So instead of just searching one document, when you hit N, it goes to the next. You hit N, it goes to the next. And then when you get to the end of this list in this document, you hit next one more time, and it goes to the next document. It starts looking in that one, and then the next one, and the next one, the next one. That has been such a saver, and I've been able to take projects that I do and people that and other people do the same project, and it'll take me like a third of the time because I can search text so fast and find the things I'm looking for, make changes on the fly and keep going, or just find it, see if it exists or not, and if it doesn't exist, add it. It's been such a huge time saver. Like I mentioned before, there's the ACK plugin. And then a similar thing as the ArgList search is the buffer search and replace. And so there's a command called buffdo. So if you don't want to, if you know that there's something that's in all these files and you don't want to use sed because you're already in Vim and you already have like five files open in Vim, you can do colon buffdo, which is B-U-F-D-O. And then you can do space percent sign S forward slash the pattern slash the replacement slash GE, and it'll, and then space pipe space update. It's going to go in and replace all those files and all, and resave them with the replacement in it. Very cool thing to do. So that's all the Vim tricks I'm going to go over right now. So some of the two languages I program in most of the time when I have to do scripting are R and Python. And I'm not going to go into how I use them because it's a really big topic, but I'm going to go into just some of the modules that I use. So for R, the libraries I use are that are useful are rcurl, which is a curl interface when you're in R. Rvest, which is similar to Beautiful Soup in Python, which I'll talk about, but it's a way to scrape data off a web page. XML, another way to scrape data off a web page. And XLSX, which is a way to get data out of Excel files. The thing we're working with some of these plugins, though, is that they have dependencies on your operating system. Like XLSX, you need to have RJava installed, which means you have to have Java installed. XML requires a libxml2. I know these things when you're on a Windows system, because I've used them on Windows before. It's actually in the binary, because there aren't any dynamically linked things in there, so it's in the binary when you install the module. But for Unix like systems, you have to install the dependencies first. So yeah, those three are really useful. One thing about XLSX, you can go and it'll just put the entire worksheet in a data frame. And you can say, I want to look at the third worksheet in the workbook, and I want to just look at the first 25 rows. Or you can say, for every sheet, worksheet in workbook, do this. So, automation of that kind of stuff is really fun. I start doing these things a lot more instead of using Visual Basic, because I hate writing macros. That's it. And then to do that, LibreOffice to MS Office, just not good when it comes to macros. This is reproducible. Some of the Python libraries I use, Beautiful Soup, like I said once before, Beautiful Soup is a great Python library for scraping data off of web pages. NLTK, which is a natural language toolkit. It is. There's another one called TM in R, which is similar. Which is TM stands for Text Miner, Natural Language Toolkit, and NLTK in Python. They're both natural language processors. There's no way I have time to go into natural language processing, but there are some really good. I'll put in the show notes a good couple of YouTube videos to watch if you want to learn about natural language processing, because it's a big topic and it's the way search engines and contextual search and a lot of these things work. That in combination a lot of times with hidden Markov models are the ways that a lot of this dynamic search, contextual search stuff works in search engines. RE, Python library, which is just the regular expression library. It's good if you want to work with regular expressions in Python, you need to do that. RDFlib, I work with creating taxonomies and ontologies sometimes. And so if you're going to deal with a semantic web and you don't want to deal with like Semaphore or one of these big data, huge platforms, you don't want to spend money for that, but you have the files already, RDFLib is a great way to interact with those files or that the server. There's another module called Sparkle Wrapper, SPARQL Wrapper, and it's a subset of RDFLib commands that's a little bit easier to work with, but I like working with RDFLib straight away for most things. And then CSV. CSV is a built-in Python library that lets you work with CSV files, tab. It's pretty much similar to awk, where you can work with any type of character-separated file, but it also works with Excel files, too. And so those are some of the tools that I use. Some other tools that I use that are Java web client or web servers are OpenRefine. OpenRefine.org, if you haven't seen it, it was a project by Google. It's open source. It's a way to visualize and clean up dirty data. So you can import it can interface with a database or just like an Excel file, and it'll read it it can cluster terms that are similar. So if there's things like capitalization or misspellings, you can start to cluster those words together and say that old word is now this word. And, you know, it's just a visual way of helping you clean up large amounts of data really quickly. Another tool to use with that is Reconcile CSV. It's actually a plugin for OpenRefine, and it's also a Java web client where you basically run it as a little daemon as you're running OpenRefine, and you can interact with it. And what that does, it'll let you take data that you just cleaned up and a standard data set, compare the two data sets, and it'll do a job of like matching the thing that you just cleaned up to to whatever standard you choose, and it'll give you a probability score of how good that match is. And I mean, if you have to do, it's really niche type of operation, but if you have to do this type of work, it's so useful. There were like five different ways people spelled Mississippi because it's so many letters. And you did a job in OpenRefine, clustering all the similar ones to a single spelling of Mississippi. Then you can go and take, you know, just a CSV file with all the states and compare it and then have it compare Mississippi over here to Mississippi over there. It doesn't have to be a single word. It can be like a sentence even. But for Mississippi, it's pretty easy. There'd be like a 1-to-1 ratio of like Mississippi, so that your p-value would be a 1. By default, anything above a 0.8, I think it says, is a good match. So if you're looking at all of the data that the units of measure consortium compile, and you have a whole bunch of units of measure and a system that you're working with, you can first clean up the units of measure because people will spell milliliter or centiliter or whatever differently. Clean it up first, compare it to the standard, and now you can say, okay, for sure, what this system called milliliter is this national standard called ML. And then there you go. So that's just like a small use case. The last tool is also a Java applet. A Java web server, where all these Java web servers, all you have to do is just go, you know, Java, the name of the file, and they run pretty much. It's not too much to it. But this one is called Tabula. And if you ever had a PDF and you actually wanted to take that PDF or a couple, like a table or a couple tables out of that PDF and put it into like a CSV file or an Excel file, Tabula does exactly that. It'll bring that file into, like, you go in on your web browser, upload the file, which is not really upload, it's just saying where it is in your directory because it's local. And then it'll analyze it. You basically just drag and drop like the area that you want it to analyze. So you just highlight the area on the screen that looks like the table, hit start, and then it'll extract the data out of that and put it into a CSV file or an Excel file. It took me forever to find this, but once I found it, I'm like, this is a keeper. Because so much of what I do is working, people give you PDF files and expect you to like be able to use them. It's like, well, this is our documentation, so put this in our database. I was like, well, it's not structured data, but you can structure it in this type of way. Very useful. I've suggested to other people. I have no other people who are using it now, and so it's been very useful. So those are my tricks that are outside of command line tools. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. If you have any questions or any further suggestions, you can go ahead and look for me on Hacker Public Radio. I'm there. You can also find me on Twitter at ryoung29. And stay tuned for more Hacker Public Radio goodness.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.